You have your Bibles, will you turn with me to John chapter 20? One of the things that we believe is that God wants communication with his people. And it's exciting as you study the Bible to find that there are many different ways that God tries to communicate with us. Sometimes people are responsive, and other times they're not. But for those that are Christians, one of the greatest means of communication that we have is when we listen to the Holy Spirit. And God has placed his Holy Spirit within us. I think sometimes we miss the importance of that. With all the other things that God has blessed us with, the very fact that the Holy Spirit is in you is sometimes pushed off to the side to make room for more popular ideas. In John chapter 20, we find Jesus speaking to his disciples after his resurrection, and he's giving instructions to them and letting them know some things that are going to take place in the very near future, and in particularly on the day of Pentecost. And he gives them a command, and they had to get themselves ready for this because it hadn't really happened yet. We know what took place on the day of Pentecost. There was nothing like it that the disciples experienced while they were walking with Jesus on the face of the earth. They were given power. They were given authority, but not like what took place on the day of Pentecost. And Jesus, in verse 21, it says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye." Now there's a command, isn't it? God's telling them to do something. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, there's a term, and I'm sure you've heard it in song and other areas, that where God's Spirit is, there is a sanctuary. That really isn't totally true. God's Spirit deals with people that a lot of times don't allow him to have a sanctuary in their lives. But for those of us who are saved, we know that when we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, we also willingly received that precious gift of God, who is the Holy Spirit. And throughout the book of Acts, we find people getting excited about this because they see people totally changed simply by the presence of God in their lives. It isn't a matter of just saying, okay, I have received a doctrine, I've received an education about the Lord Jesus. That may change a person's life, but it doesn't get them saved. What gets them saved is reaching out by faith from the heart and receiving the Lord Jesus as Savior. And when that takes place, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit coming in. Now, that is the very presence of God. This is an exciting thing. We see it throughout Scripture. As a matter of fact, we find one of the sorcerers who saw such a difference in people after they got saved that he went to Peter and he said, I'll give you some money. Give me the power so that I can give people the Holy Spirit. Because you could see it. It made a difference. In the Old Testament, and we've been studying this in Sunday school and the auditorium Bible class, God wanted a tabernacle, later to become a temple, a house where he could dwell in the midst of his people. Why? It was because he wanted to communicate in fellowship with them. He wanted that channel of communication open. And God hasn't changed. Down through the thousands of years from the tabernacle until now, God's desire still is to fellowship and to communicate with his people. In the book of Exodus, chapter 25, verse 8, it says, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." In Exodus 29, 43, it says, "There I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory." But God has a preference. And I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 7. He has a preference of where and what type of building he likes. Man has never built a perfect building for God. Even Solomon, in all his wisdom and all the details he went through to make the temple a sanctified place. You see, in the temple, when they were building it, there couldn't even be a hammer that could be heard while it was under construction. He wanted it just so pure, so perfect. But it wasn't, because man had something to do with it. No matter how hard man tries, he's going to be off in his measurements just a tiny little bit. He may go to school and have the most brilliant education, but no matter how hard he tries, there are going to be some things that he comes up with in the building. They're going to fall. They're going to fail. In Acts chapter 7, I want you to see something in verse 48. Something that the Bible tells us is very, very important to God. This is his preference of where he wants to dwell. It says, "Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet." Not with temples made with hands. Well, Solomon's temple was made with hands, wasn't it? Tabernacle was made with hands. Every place, every monument that people put up, it's made with human hands. The preference that God's trying to get across here is, I want to dwell in something not made with man's hands. In other words, your body. Man's hands did not make your body. God did. And that's where he wants to dwell. And if you're saved, that's where he chose to dwell when you received him as Savior and he received you as his child. And at that moment, you became a sanctuary. Every sanctuary is a little bit different for him. One is more appealing than another, more inviting than another. And that leaves us with some questions. If our bodies are sanctuaries for the Holy Spirit, how appealing are we making it for the Holy Spirit to dwell here? If you will, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You really don't have as much authority in your body as you might like to think. You see, there is an authority higher than the doctor. There is an authority higher than a judge. There is an authority higher than any man here on this earth. And that's the authority of God. And he has every right to claim total authority over you. Now, if you are leasing out your body so far as authority to others, you're wrong. God wants to have absolute and total authority. And as I said, he has total rights to this. Look what it says in verse 19. It says what? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost who is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own?" You're not your own. Did you catch that? In verse 20, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to Him. They belong to Him. Your flesh, your body, is a temple of God. It's not a temple of physical fitness. It's not a pawn of the government. It's not a subject of a healthcare program. It is the purchased possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now I know that some of you, that's just going to fly right over your head, and it won't make any difference. But there are going to be some of you here this morning that are going to give some serious thought to that, of what the Scripture says. That many times we cave in to what other people tell us about our lives. That we have to do this, we have to do something else, instead of seeking guidance from God. And He's the one who owns us. He's the one who made us. He has made us a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. Now, I think it's important, especially for those of you who have been studying with us in Sunday school, you know that there are different steps before you get to the holiest of holies. And it was in the holiest of holies that the most powerful impact of communication came from God. High priests would go in, and it was just so overwhelming that they had to tie a rope on the high priest just in case he passed out, or just in case he died while he was in there, because others are afraid to go in there. There is such a level of communication that God wants with us. But you see, there are degrees to get to that. And if our body is a sanctuary, let's think of it as a tabernacle. There is the outer court where you might recognize the presence of God. Then there is the inner court where they have little prayer chambers and you have some communication with God. Then you have the holy place where, again, you're getting to recognize the presence of God in a deeper way. But then when you get into the holiest of holies, and that's the goal, that's the place where we need to be, into the holiest of holies, there is that powerful communication that God wants us to have. And it isn't something that happens overnight. It isn't something that we can say, all right, God, I want to be in the holiest of holies. Let me be there now. God has certain requirements, certain things that a high priest had to do. For an example, before a high priest could even take a sacrifice, they had to wash thoroughly. They had to purge themselves of sin. They had to confess their sins, get right with God. They had to deal with the sin issue before they could go any further. And that was an important step. Then when they went in a little bit further and they gave the offerings, they could do it on the basis of, all right, I've cleansed my own hands, Lord. I've confessed my sins. I'm depending on You to overcome them. Then they're in a right relationship with the Lord. But, you know, there are a lot of people in a right relationship with the Lord who don't hear Him very well. And that's because they haven't gotten to the holiest of holies. And if your body is a sanctuary, there is a place in you where God wants to fellowship and He wants to communicate to you powerfully. He did it with all the disciples. It totally overrode all their past. We look at Peter. Peter was kind of an undecisive guy. If you study the life of Peter, what you'll find is Jesus had to call him numerous times to come and follow Him. It wasn't just once where Peter just dropped the nets and said, okay, for now I'm going to follow Jesus. No, that didn't happen that way. We find Jesus going back again and again, and Peter saying, yeah, this is what I want. I'm going to do it. And he never does it until a certain point. Indecision is part of Peter's life. A little bit later, you find Peter trying to play one-upsmanship on the other disciples and say, Lord, though all the disciples, all these, would deny You, I'll never deny You. And we know what happened. A little bit later, when he was before Pilate, what did Peter do? He denied Him. Now, the day of Pentecost came. Peter already had experienced the Holy Spirit coming upon him and working through him, but that's kind of like the Holy Spirit dealing with us in that prayer chamber in the inner court. You're not in the holiest place yet. And Peter knew how great and powerful the Holy Spirit was. But then, on the day of Pentecost, something happened. They remembered the words of Jesus. We read them right at the beginning of the message this morning, where Jesus gave them a command, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Receive him. And when Peter and that other 120 people up in that upper room received the Lord, his presence by the Holy Spirit into their lives, everything in the past changed. I mean, here you have DNA being overcome. Here you have habits, lifelong habits overcome. Peter, who is indecisive, Peter, who couldn't make up his mind, Peter, who was all mouth and no boldness and no courage, suddenly Peter says, "All right, let's go outside on the streets and let people know." Total change in personality. What brought that about? The Holy Spirit did. He received the Holy Spirit, and that was powerful enough to overcome all the DNA, all the bad habits, all the previous things that he had ever done in his life. And he was a changed man. Great things happen when we listen to the Lord and then do what he says. The temple that God wants to dwell in is you. The temple of the Holy Spirit God chose to place into a body not made with hands. The environment where he dwelled was important to the Lord. God had certain rules, regulations. I want you to just see one of them. It's over in Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. It's one of those areas that we didn't cover very much in the Sunday school class. But I want you to see this because it's very interesting. How God made the tabernacle something that he would enjoy dwelling in. And everything was included. Everything was included. You have the showbread, you have the wine representing communion. You have him participating in that. You have the surroundings. They had to be a certain type, certain types of wood, certain types of gold. Different things had to be done exactly the way God said in order for him to be comfortable in that environment. In Exodus chapter 30, we see a little bit more of that so far as creating an environment that God wanted. In verse 35, it's talking about a smell, an incense that he wanted to smell. Now, we all have favorite things we like to smell. Some people like the smell of barbecue. Some people like the smell of popcorn. Some people like the smell of different savory foods. That's all well and good. And everybody has their favorite thing. What you're about to see is God saying, "This is what I want." And it's interesting. You see in verse 30... I'm sorry, verse 35. It says, "Thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small and put it before the testimony by the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy." And then it says, and "As for the perfume that thou shalt make, ye shall not make it to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord." Holy for the Lord. Even the smell that God wanted to be around, there's a certain type that he preferred over other things. And that shows you the concern that the Lord has over every aspect of his environment. Now, let's get down to basics. He chose you. He chose me. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. To place his Holy Spirit in our bodies. And we have to ask ourselves, what kind of environment am I providing for him? What is he pleased with? What does he not like? This is an important aspect of our relationship with God. We need to be concerned about it. We need to be concerned. If you have someone come over to your house, and let's say it's somebody that you love very, very much, and they're going to spend a few days. Of course, the Holy Spirit's going to spend longer in your body. But let's just say you have somebody you love dearly that comes over, and they have their bags there. And don't you want to, first of all, prepare the house? I mean, most people would say, all right, I'm having this person come. I need to clean the house. I need to make sure that it's spick and span. I need to make sure that everything is right. If you have a bedroom assigned for them, you want it to be the best. You get out the good linens. You get out the good towels. You take out things, set them up for them to make it convenient for them because you care about them. If we would care about a human guest like that, why shouldn't we care about the precious Holy Spirit of God coming to dwell within us? What have we done in preparation so far as his staying with us? What have we done in our lives that would make him satisfied to stay? The timing and placement of everything that we do counts. Yeah, you know, there are times that God wants to speak, and then there are times when he says, okay, it's time I'll listen to you. There was one time in Elijah's life, you remember he just threw up his hands and he said, I'm ready to go home. He was ready to give up. Went out to the desert, said, Lord, take me. And he fell asleep. The angel punched him and said, you're not through yet. Get up to that mountain. God wants to talk to you. And he goes up. And as he's climbing up, the storm came. And you remember, he was looking for the Lord to speak to him. But the Lord wasn't in the wind, and the Lord wasn't in the lightning, and the Lord wasn't in the fire, and the Lord wasn't in the rocks falling down or in the earthquake. Finally, in God's time, not Elijah's, but God's time, he spoke to him. Could God have spoken to Elijah while he's still on the desert? Sure. Why didn't he? Why did he make this old man climb up this mountain that was very difficult for him? And here he had already been given some food, but he wasn't bringing any. Climbs this mountain. You can imagine how that wore him out physically. Why couldn't have God just saved him the trouble and just spoken to him right where he was? He could have. But there are times when God says, I want you to go out of your way for me. I want you to do things that aren't convenient for you. To show that you're serious about your love for me. Heard about a young couple that got married. And the wife came down with the flu. And husband comes in and complains and says, you know, the dishes are piling up. And she says, isn't there at least once that you can go and do the dishes yourself? And you know, it all boils down to a matter of love. Because he could find paper plates to eat off of. But here are these dishes stacked in the kitchen sink, unwashed. And yes, it would take time out of his day to clean that up. It would be inconvenient for him. And the big thing, as I read this story, was he had never washed a dish in his life. And there she was down with the flu. What would he do if he loved her? He'd wash the dishes. He'd wash the dishes. What will we do if we love God and he says, I want you to do something that isn't convenient? We do it. We do it. And you see, all that revolves around the fact that he made you a sanctuary. And we have the story of Jesus when he went to teach in that one house, you know, with they tore up the roof. And before he got too far underway, somebody came to him and said, Master, your mother and your brethren are outside, and they're calling for you. Did he say, okay, well, some of you are going to have to leave so they can come in? No. No. They knew where he was going to be, and they knew when he was going to be there. And they chose to just take their time. Well, what happened? They lost out. They lost out. And most likely it was just something that it just wasn't convenient for them to drop what they were doing and listen to the Lord. But you're going to find that that's necessary in your life over and over and over again. It's this sanctuary that God has given to us, our bodies. It's a place where fellowship can begin, where we can learn so much by direct communication to Him. It is one thing to study about a person. And this is where a lot of our seminaries go wrong. Instead of promoting a personal relationship with the Lord, they're promoting book study as a substitute. Now, nothing wrong with studying about the Lord and understanding the historical backgrounds and stuff like that. Nothing wrong with that. But when it becomes a replacement for your personal relationship with the Lord, there's something radically wrong. You will never come to the knowledge of the Lord that you would on a personal level. I hear about people all the time coming to court, and they're supposed to be witnesses about an individual, and they get shot down just like this. The lawyer brings them up on the stand, and he says, how long have you known the person? Oh, I've known him for 3-4 years. Okay, good. Well, tell me this about the person. Tell me that about the person. And they kind of stutter because they have known the person for several years, but they have never really seen them, talked to them, understood them. And I think that's the way it is with a lot of people who claim to be Christians today. They've known the Lord from the book. They've known the Lord in the sense that they hear from other people, they hear testimonies of what God has done in their lives, and they go to church and they say, yeah, this is great, God's a good person, and he sent Jesus for me, and they know all the language. But when it comes to real communication with the Lord, there's something really missing. There are a lot of Christians that can go an entire day or two or three without even praying. People who say that they're Christians. Listen, if you have somebody right there that you love, how could you not be speaking with them? How could you not be listening to them? Can you imagine a loving couple, husband and wife, in a home that don't speak to each other for days on end? What would you say about the relationship? There's something wrong with it. There's something wrong with it. When you find a couple that says, oh, I love my wife, I love my husband, but they don't talk to each other every single day throughout the day as long as each is in the other's presence, something wrong with that relationship. And yet there are people who claim to be Christians, claim to know the Lord as their Savior, and yet days will go by and then they'll say, oh, you know, I haven't prayed in a while. Wow. If you're saved, do you realize that every minute of those days, the Holy Spirit was there? The Holy Spirit of God, that person of God, that God chose to make you a sanctuary for. When He was placed in you, can you imagine not speaking? I can't. How can we say that we love Him and not communicate with Him? How can we say that? In Leviticus chapter 16, verse 2, it says, the Lord said to Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. He says, Moses, tell Aaron that he just can't do things under his timetable. Tell Aaron he can't come just any time he wants, but that God will speak at a particular time. And if you miss it, you miss it. But you don't determine the time. God does. And sometimes He takes the most inconvenient times to make us realize whether we really have that awesome love for God that we should or not. Will you turn with me to the book of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 13. God's sanctuary should be pleasing to Him. When you're buying or renting a house, We don't look at all different places and go around and check them out and then say, you know, I don't like this place. I don't like the neighbors. I don't like the parking situation. I don't like the crime in the area. The place smells bad. It's dirty. And it would just be uncomfortable to live in. And then you turn around to the real estate person and says, how much money do you want down? You don't do that, do you? Here's the dilemma. Jesus says in His Word, well, let's read it, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with the things as you have. For He has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. There it is. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, God made a covenant with you, whether you're aware of it or not, that when you received Jesus as Savior, He placed His Holy Spirit in you. You became a sanctuary. In other words, He's stuck there. Would we rent a place that was dirty, uncomfortable, filled with all sorts of vermin, and just was not a place that we'd feel comfortable in? Would we rent such a place? Would we buy such a place? Well, here's what happens. God did. He bought such a place with His own blood. And that place is your body. And He came to dwell inside there. Now, His dilemma is this. Once I come, He says, I won't leave. That sanctuary that you have right now, how comfortable is it for God? How pleasing is it for him? This is an area that you have some control over. Because you can change whether it's dirty or not. You can change whether the thoughts running through that body are good or evil. You have the opportunity before God to allow that Holy Spirit to dwell in a sanctuary that is comfortable or not. But either way, the Holy Spirit's going to stay there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. What have you done to make your sanctuary appealing and comfortable to the permanent guest that you have, who is none less than the Spirit of God? What have you done? What have you done just in the past week? So the Holy Spirit feels comfortable where he is in you, because he has to stay there. He said that he would, and God's true to his word. What have you done over the past month? The past 6 months? Because he's there. I think each one of us need to take a look at the fact that God's going to be true to his word. And just as he is true to his word about not leaving, his word also is true when it comes to his promises about, with God all things are possible. So that body of ours that may be not comfortable for God can be changed. Now, I'm not talking about outward appearances now. I'm talking about on the inside. Can we change? Yes. The Bible says, Jesus talked to his disciples when they came back, and he said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. In other words, that devil's got to go. Those bad habits, those bad attitudes that make the Holy Spirit uncomfortable, they can go. Because the power is in you that God put there to make them go. God's sanctuary should be pleasing to him. Now, for some of you, the whole idea of God dwelling in you is a whole new concept. And taking it seriously is something you've never done. You've heard about people getting saved. You've heard about people saying, I'm going to heaven. You've been at funerals where people say, that person is with the Lord now. But you've never seriously looked at the fact that in your life you've tried many things to change your life and make it better, and you failed. Even if you have improved your life by self-determination, you cannot erase the sins that have already been committed. Only Jesus can do that. And that's why today you need him. He's the one who can wash away our sins by his blood. And that's the only way that they get gone in God's book. And if you reach out today and with a heart receive him as your Savior, your name is going to be written in the Lamb's book of life. God's going to give you eternal life. And the moment that your sins are forgiven, he comes down into your body and makes it a sanctuary for him. And all the things that you tried to do in the past to try to improve your life, God gives you power now to really improve your life, because he's right there with you. And he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I want to encourage you today, if you've never really received the Lord as Savior, now's the time to do it. And for those of you that are saved and you've never seriously looked at the fact that your body is a sanctuary and God's stuck there because he promised that he would just stay, never leave you. you've never given serious thought to whether the Holy Spirit is comfortable in you or not. And I want to plead with you to just listen to what he has to say. Listen to what he says needs to change. You know, some people move into a house, one of the first things they do, if it's furnished, they rearrange the furniture. Or they get new furniture. They put new paintings up on the wall. Things change because everybody is different. And when God comes in, things have to change. How much changing have you allowed the Holy Spirit to do? Let's bow in a word of prayer as the hand comes. We're going to have an invitation in a moment. But I want you to consider God's promise that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. The reality that the Holy Spirit is in you right now if you're saved. And the problem that exists if you're comfortable but he isn't. Who needs to be pleased? Who needs to be glorified? Who needs to be lifted up and obeyed? We all know the answer to that. Let me encourage you today to make sure that you're doing it. Let me encourage you today to be willing to make your body a happy, joyful place for the Holy Spirit to dwell. Heavenly Father, we praise you today for all that you went through for us. And Lord, on top of everything else, and you could have just saved us and we waited until we're leaving this earth before we have our blessings in heaven, but you blessed us with your presence down here. You sent your Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And so many things he can do. So much rearranging, so many changes that he can make in our lives to make his sanctuary that he bought with his blood, to make that sanctuary more pleasing to him. And so we ask you today, Lord, to speak to our hearts and show us things that we need to do to please you more. And Father, we look forward to the joy of being able to look in your face one day and hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord, we just ask your blessing today on anyone who mentally believes in you, and in their minds they have always trusted you, but they know that there's that huge void in their hearts or something missing that they know others have, that they know the Bible talks about, but it hasn't happened to them yet. Father, I pray that today that your Holy Spirit would motivate them to give their heart, not just their thinking, not just what their thoughts are, but their heart to you by faith. And we'll give you the praise for what you'll do, because you'll save them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand, shall we? We invite you to come.